Are you ready for this? Oh, it's your Podblast. Well, we're fresh from a fantastic bounce-back victory from good old England. How exciting was that, Alex?
I had no idea until I arrived at the studio, but minutes ago, that England had pulled it off, because I've been extremely depressed recently, as Phil, you know very well, because I've been emailing you saying I'm feeling very depressed.
Yeah, this is the cheer-up Alex O'Dell version of the show, without a doubt. You felt pretty glum this morning, and now your mood's been transformed by one of those eccentric games of cricket that takes place.
Yeah. Joe, you might have even actually been following this game, so I think you're ideally suited to give us a quick rundown of what's happened and what you think of it.
I watched almost all of it. Chris Jordan was fantastic again. If he hadn't already, I think he's pretty much nailed down a test spot.
Great.
First test against Sri Lanka. Bell and Cook finished it off nicely. Bell with a lovely six to round it all off, and England will be feeling a bit more positive than they were at the weekend. It's a really good fight back. Sri Lanka looked pretty desperate. I don't know what happened really.
Sometimes games go like that. Sometimes you can play and miss 25 times in the first couple of hours and make 300, and other times you just nick off to every single delivery. Chandamal smacked one straight to cover, taken, you know, by his bootlaces by Bell. Sangakkara played well for 20 minutes and then nicked off. Jai Warden missed a straight non-spinning off break from Treadwell. I mean, last time he did that was when he was four. I mean, he's never done that before. And suddenly, the skipper with Matthews probably didn't hit it as well. Dodgy decision. It was one of those weird games. No one was really expecting it to even take place under dank skies.
Do you think Sri Lanka weren't really...
Not necessarily, because they played well at Chesley Street, again, in crappy conditions. I just think sometimes games of cricket go like that.
Is that true also of the Chesley Street game? Is the same analysis applicable for both games?
I think, certainly, with one-day cricket, you can just collapse on any given day, and it doesn't matter how decent a side are you, or how disciplined or how committed a side are you. Sometimes that can just happen, and it's a procession that is very hard to halt and stop, you know. And I don't think there can be any great criticisms of Sri Lanka today, just as I don't think England are suddenly a bad side because of that capitulation the other day.
Well, hang on. We're all set up to doommonger here, aren't we? The world's press say England are a terrible cricket team again, just one game after being quite a good cricket team again. Are we a worrywart nation of nincompoops?
Well, let me be that worrywart, because I've got to say, you know, dragging disaster from the mouth of victory, I just feel bad for the fans.
They pay their
hard-earned money, they go to these places, Chesley Street, Old Trafford, and they basically get half an ODI.
They might get half the money back, possibly.
I've got to say, I've always felt that myself as a fan. It always pisses me off if the team collapses in the first innings. I don't care who it is, whether it's my favourite team or the worst of the lot. For me, it's always a game ahead of a result, always.
It looks very much like it might start to piss down as well when England were cruising to victory. Yeah. And to have been denied a win there would have been a bit too much to take, I think.
But you know, it's classic cricket, isn't it? England were criticised and they had to take it on the chin. Morgan was very impressive, I thought, after the game.
That's
in
what I was
Chesley
say,
Street.
The way they
very
came
impressive.
Out after that defeat was quite un-English, as we got used to over the last kind of 6 months.
Unforgivable performance, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, one of the worst we've
strong
ever put
words,
in.
No excuses, just we were shocking. And Ravi Bapara, in his latest diary, which will be in the magazine that comes out next week, again, was speaking in really strong terms. Yeah. I think he said they were livid in the dressing room. Not despondent, not depressed, not looking for excuses, but just livid.
Some people have criticised that. It's slightly odd criticism, which is that there was criticism in an ESPN article today, and I won't name the author because I don't know who it was, who suggested the England team's use of language is a bit like those word clouds you get on a website, you know, and they were just trying to make as many word clouds as they could to describe
it. Right, so now they're being criticised for actually using English words one after the other.
They were criticised for saying
nothing. It's actually
tougher
than it looks being an England cricketer, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. I think the key really is just to cut out one's own tongue and then just claim you're unable to speak.
Well, that's those foreign premiership managers that claim they can't say a word. They construct some sentences through a translator. That's how the England team should conduct themselves.
Yeah, Alistair Cook, what did you think about the game?
Look, we had a great game out there. It just didn't go our way. You just need that rub of the green, that little bit of luck that gets you over the line.
Yeah. I'm not going to do any more of my
Spanish
because I think it might be racist.
Mm.
So, okay, so England team, what a roller coaster. An unexpected annihilation was the way the second game was dealt with. Just quickly jumping back
that
to the first
game. That
was actually
the title of your email, wasn't it?
Unexpected annihilation. Is that what it says
England's
there?
Unexpected annihilation. There it is.
That's what I thought.
Topic's also bleak.
It was pithy, wasn't it?
But that was this
morning. That was
you're a different man now.
Was it an unexpected annihilation in the first game? Because I don't think England got sufficient credit for actually winning extremely comfortably in the first game at the Oval.
Yeah. Yeah, and they turned it on, and Joey mentioned Jordan. Jordan is the name on everyone's lips at the minute. He's a funny looking bowler, and they were talking about his run up earlier, and I wasn't aware that this has been a topic. But we were all at the game, the 2020 game, and you commented on the strangeness of the run up, that there's nothing to it at all.
Balls up front in front of
his face. It's all shoulder and quick arm. That said, he does get it down there, 86, 87. Was that rude? Were you trying to be rude?
No. Balls in front of his face. How does he do that?
I don't want to have one of these sex shows.
No,
like the
exactly.
Other week.
You just right.
That is very unfair because Ross Sniggers.
I was trying to make a serious point.
Well, no, sorry. No, that's true.
Trying to make a serious point.
On this occasion,
was
Ross was the smutty one.
Sorry. Go on, Phil.
Anyway, he's in the test team. Anyway, he's a good bowler.
Yeah, and with Stokes?
Well, yeah, he's 60-odd wickets, right?
Yeah, 60-odd, few wickets, went for a few. But yeah, I'm pretty sure he's in that side now. He's shown enough to be fit.
And there is room for both of them, I think. If Stokes takes the number six, then there is room for both
of
them.
That's an exciting team as well.
A third of the way through the county cricket season in England. And we're about to dish out the awards of the year so far.
It's a really exciting moment in the county cricket season because we are almost exactly a third of the way through it. And that's traditionally in the county cricket season is a time for awards.
Yes, that's good. The one-third through awards show, that's what we traditionally term it as.
So we're going to look at the runners and riders. We're going to go a little bit off-piste and try and look for the happy moments because I've been a little sad recently in this season. So
Cheer up. What's the matter with you? Buck up, man. This was the up and down of international cricket. You need levelling out with the solid consistency of a fantastic English cricket county season.
Okay, well, I've got a really good one to start with. This is the award for the "We'll Never Play for England, but Could Probably Do a Job" award, which ties in perfectly because we still haven't had the selection for the first test. So the bolder amongst you might like to claim that, in fact, that person should be selected for the first test.
Well, that's not... give it away.
Let's start straight away. Phil, we'll never play for England, but could probably do a job award. Who's yours? Who's your nominee?
Well, I don't want to take the lad from Worcester off my man Ross here, so I'm going to leave him to him. My man is Stoneman, Mark Stoneman, who people might say, well, you never know. He might get a shout. I think he's a really good player, but I can't ever see him playing for England in any format, to be honest. He might maybe get a one-day game if things work out for him, but as a test player, he's never going to get that gig. And my reasoning for it, he still averages just a tick under 30, even though his form over the last 2 years has been excellent. He's got a very Wurzel Gummidge-like beard, a little bit like myself currently. He's significantly northern, and, you know, the whole kind of southern power base of English cricket. I'm not sure that Mark Stoneman, who's a bit of a flighty, high strike rate opener with a bit of dash and daring, plus he's an opener which is hard, therefore, to slip in. You've got four options if you're a middle order player, you've only got two if you're an opener. Mark Stoneman, class player, good bloke, never going to play for England.
I like it a lot, and I'm going to go straight on to my call, which has to be Darren Mitchell.
It has to be Darren Mitchell.
Well, Mitchell's had a terrific season so far, but I think what the fantastic thing that he's done is score at such different speeds. He can block out for a whole day if needs be, or he can go along well above a runner ball if the situation calls for it, particularly in a season so far where there's been a lot of rain around, as there is always at this time of year. You need someone that can adapt to those sorts of conditions. And when he's needed to clip on, he's done that. When he's needed to hang around, he's done that. I mean, our season's been very... Worcestershire's season's been... speaking for Worcestershire, the season has been terrific so far. We haven't lost a game at all. But not everyone has contributed. But Darryl Mitchell has held almost every innings together single-handedly.
But you're admitting defeat? You can't see him ever playing for England?
I can't see him. I just don't see like he's a fashionable enough cricketer. No, I can't tell you what that's it is. He's got that, you know, your terrific piece about Worcester in the last All Out Cricket. Worcester's a very local club. He's a very local captain. He's from round the corner. And he just feels like one of those captains of a great but little club that's destined to be overlooked.
Excellent. Wow. That was so eloquent, wasn't it? I mean, I won't lie to you. I fell asleep halfway through.
Yeah, but why? You know, why didn't you not like that?
Isn't it novel when he's serious, though? Isn't
yeah.
It good,
I know, it always scares me a bit.
Yeah, I know.
Isn't it nice?
I know, but it is nice.
I thought it was rousing. Did you not think it was... Not arousing, Al. Oh, for God's sake. Joe,
what about your nominee for this?
Well, from one unfashionable county to another, I've gone for Will Goodman of Gloucestershire, whose first-class stats are ridiculous. So
but he's also married to my cousin, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't think that's why he's stopping playing for England.
Hang on.
She's a rascal as well.
I can see you physically getting...
No, that's good.
It's true.
He is a terrific player.
We should get him on.
Yeah, I will. No, I'll have a word with Laura.
Well, don't tell him
anyway,
I'll
never
play for England, because that would be a bit interesting.
I don't think he will play for England, but his stats are great.
Yeah, so first-class bowling average of 20.5, which is just...
That's extraordinary.
That is extraordinary. First-class batting average of 35. Mm-hmm. He's already got loads of wickets this season. He's scored lots of runs. But unfortunately, he's never gonna play for England. You hear the odd Gloucester person putting him forward. Yeah. Although it's quite telling, we had him as
odd Gloucester people.
Yeah,
the odd Gloucester person. A couple
of years ago, we had him as one of our 10 to watch for the season. And I think you interviewed him.
Yeah.
And the year before, he'd scored 1,000 first class runs, taken 50 first class wickets, first person to do it for 20 years or something.
First Englishman to do it for 20 years.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you, at the end of it, I think he said to you, "Was that all right?"
Yeah.
And it turned out he hadn't done an interview for the whole previous season when he'd been doing all of these things, which would suggest maybe Gloucester could do a little bit more in putting their man forward.
So not even kind of, you know, BBC Bristol or anything like that. No one had paid any heed to what was one of the great county cricket achievements.
Wow, he's very loyal, isn't he?
Did you ask why he doesn't leave?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, anyway, I'm allowed a nominee, but again, I was very moved by that. I'll just go back to the wording because I'm a lawyer.
That'd be so disingenuous.
Will never play for England, but could probably do a job. There's this guy that's just pitched up at Surrey recently, and I've heard a couple of things. His name's Hashim Amla, and he will never play for England, but I'm pretty sure that he could do a job.
He's
okay, listener, it's for you to decide in the next 3 seconds, and then we're going to decide amongst ourselves.
Yeah,
have we been carried
have
away
a chat with yourself
on a whimsy roller coaster by Ross and Worcestershire? Is it Gloucestershire for you, or is it the one that Phil spoke about? That
you
I don't
can't
recall?
Even remember. My
yeah.
word. Let's move on, shall we?
Who's our winner?
Should we call it a Mitchell Gibbon tie?
It's got to be Mitchell. Got
to
be Mitchell.
I think it has to be Mitchell, but that just needs
Gibbon
that
for
again.
Me. I think that's a tie.
Gibbon.
And while some people have excelled, like that guy Phil was talking about that I can't remember, others have not done quite so well. This, listeners, is the award for the overall letdown of the season so far. Oh, it's harsh.
It's
Ross,
so harsh, isn't it?
Have you got a nominee or do you want me to start with somebody else?
Why don't you start with someone else?
I will.
Because I've got two or three contenders who are going to battle it out in my mind.
Joe.
Well, mine is a letdown that is still to come, but it's been talked about endlessly for the last couple of weeks, which is Freddie Flintoff's return for Lancashire,
mm-hmm.
which I can only see going one way, and I think it could end up being a bit sad. We spoke to Fred a couple of years ago. No, last summer, I think it was. And he was desperate to play again, and you could see that. But I don't think it's the right way to go. He's not going to be able to bowl, surely. And his batting had kind of gone by the time he was still playing for England. So I'm seeing a letdown on the horizon,
mm-hmm.
and it's...
I predict a letdown.
And it's... Yeah.
Anderson said that as long as he can bowl well, and also bat well, and field well, he's welcome.
He's got a point.
Can't say fairer than that.
I'm all over Fred playing, even if he just rocks up in kind of comedy clown shoes and can barely even hold the bat. I've got no problems with that at all.
So, what
I'd
about your nominee
it. I'd love
for
to
this? Let down of the season so far.
Well, I've got a few candidates as well. Onion's getting injured and being a little bit ineffective is a shame for him, and it's a shame for all of his supporters and fans. So that's been a bit of a shame, and there's no chance, I don't think, he's going to be fit for that first test, and he's probably been overtaken in the pecking order as well, slightly. One or two other ones as well. Graham Smith's buggered knee as well, which is kind of just sums up Surrey's tribulations really a little bit at the minute. Very peculiar how that one's happened. Well, and indeed, Stewart was having to refute claims that he might have to retire for good.
It was very odd, wasn't it? I was thinking of doing some sort of joke about the Battle of Wounded Knee, but I didn't really know what it was, so I went on Wikipedia, and it turns out it was a massacre of men, women and children.
So
not good comedy.
All right, well, moving on to...
Although tragedy plus time equals comedy. So maybe it's time.
Mr. Chris Morris. Right, and the other one is Peterson, Delhi Daredevils. Now, I know you don't even know what those words mean, but this is the Indian Premier League, also known as the IPL. And they've lost all their games. And I've got nothing against KP, but the Schadenfreude is off the scale on that one.
Yeah.
There are a few for me.
Okay. Ross, coming back to you.
No, moving on to Joe.
I think I've done mine.
Oh,
right.
Joe, done yours?
You can duck and weave as much as you like, Ross, but
I was going to go for Graham Smith.
Everything's rosy in Ross's garden.
My letdown of the season is your attempt to answer
my
this question.
To letdown of the season.
Let me give you a letdown. Warner on Twitter, because I noticed the other day, David Warner's back on Twitter, and we all enjoyed his animal and wildlife-based Twitter. So I went on there, and it's really dull. Every game. You know that thing that Chris
does? Because he's happy. That's what it is.
He is. He's engaged. He's got a kid
on the
way.
He's got that big girl with the shoulders.
It's devastating. Really devastating. So,
right,
that was
been...
Come on again.
This is called the Cheer Up Alex O'Dell issue. Right?
I'll tell you,
it's
a Cheer Up special.
Can I tell you another letdown?
Oh, God.
Mike Newell, right, talking about England selection. He did a really great open interview talking about, you know, England bowling and batting, etc.
Brilliant.
And Newell said... Well, you know, it's going to be a really difficult decision because you can go for a specialist spinner or, in fact, you could go for a guy who could do a job like Moeen Ali and then, really, you could bat a long way down. Mm. And I thought, well, yeah, that's what everyone else is saying. How disappointing is that? You expect the selector to have some sort of inside line. Where's the master plan? Why is he seeing what I'm seeing?
Guys, I've got one. I have got one. I've lost it. I generally have lost it.
Sensational.
Yeah, it's really good.
Okay, well, it's
a jobbing actor in our midst who's flashed these lines.
It's voting time, listeners. And will you go for any one of the long list of people that Phil mentioned, or will you go for Graham Onions, who surely must win this award?
I'm going to go for Alex Hales. Alex Hales' time at Worcester. That was what it was. That's what I was going to go for, because he was called back after one game.
Yeah, that was
right, there you go.
You're about to say, Phil, that you said Graham Onions.
Prime time.
Aren't you?
I was going to say that, yeah, but sod it. Let's just move on.
Fantastic show.
Oh, well then,
you've
Jeffrey.
Got children, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
You should take them.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic show.
But Jeffrey, you're 74.
Everybody from 7 to 74, and I'm not 74 till October.
Yeah.
Anybody could enjoy it.
Yeah, I like her singing.
Yeah, I think she's different, unusual. She's clever. She writes her own material with people. I mean, she's got to... Not everybody does that. A lot of good singers around who sing other people's songs.
Yes.
And she's clever enough to write and sing. She's attractive, very pleasant. Yeah, very feminine, very nice natured.
Good technique.
Smutty laughter there from the TMS boys. You really should know better.
Well, I don't know what the pun is. The smutters with good technique.
I have no idea what technique would refer to. But anyway, that's boycott on Katy Perry.
Oh, I loved it when he said she was feminine.
She writes her own music.
With other people.
With other people. Did he say that?
Yeah.
With other people.
So that leads
they're
on...
There while she
does
it.
That, you know?
That leads very neatly onto the next category, which is Stonewaller of the Year.
Nice link.
Thank you. So, who would like to take up the nominees for
me.
Stonewaller of the Year? Thanks,
me. Aaron Harineff, Surrey Stonewaller opener, big Dylan fan, loves his prog rock and blues guitarists.
Interesting.
He's a smart boy, and he doesn't play a shot. Now, what's not to love about that human being? He actually worked with us for a few months, but this is not bias. He made 63 from 231 balls the other day, and I've actually looked this up, with three fours at Chelmsford, where it's just a road at Chelmsford. Three fours in 231 balls in the rain against Essex, as Surrey replied with 270-odd for seven against Essex's 220. That was the end of the game. It's one of those classic county championship games. Well, we do sometimes wonder, what the hell are we peddling here? But irrespective, Aaron Harineff, he is my Stonewaller of the Year.
In what capacity did he work for All Out Cricket?
He did a bit of work experience with us.
Really?
Yeah. He's lovely. Nice. He's lovely.
Yeah.
I'd also like to nominate another Surrey guy because I think Rory Burns, when Graham Smith made his 100 shortly before popping off in that fantastic game, where he scored at quite a lick, I think just over a run of ball by the time he'd reached 100. Rory Burns was on 22, I think.
Mm.
Now, the first cricket game I ever saw, Tom Moody was on 99 by the time Tim Curtis was on 58. And I was thinking, come on, Tim, speed up. But he's got nothing on Rory Burns with his 22, has he?
He was, what, 40 out at 40, kind of 200 and something balls by the end?
He really hung around, didn't you?
So mine is a throwback in some ways. Will Tavares, nephew of Chris Tavares. Now, he's got some way to go to beat his old uncle on the stonewalling front. So Chris had a strike rate of 49 in ODIs, which is really quite impressive. Whereas Will's strike rate is 48 in first-class cricket this year.
Right.
Which is slow. It's not Chris level, so he's got a bit of a way to go in his career. But this is a really shit stat for you. The second lowest strike rate of anyone to pass 400 first-class runs this season.
Oh, that's nice. That's boring, but nice.
That's good.
There's my stone order. So I've stonewalled the hell out of this award.
Well done.
You just blocked the hell out of it, didn't you?
I was going to say that the Stonewaller of the Year was Alistair Cook for his ability not to answer questions about every controversy swirling around him. But mea culpa, au contraire. Phil, you tell me that the latest edition of All Out Cricket magazine, which came out today,
went to print today, out next Thursday.
I didn't come here to be corrected.
You've had a rough old day, haven't you?
Cheer up.
Poor pet.
What did Cook have to say for himself? Prove me wrong.
Listen, I understand where you're coming from. Cook is in many ways the consummate politician, as he has to be, because you know the vultures of the Twitter generation, they're all up in his business if he's not. We got John Houghton, the brilliant John Houghton, author of the Old Batsman blog and Crick Info veteran now, to interview him, and he interviewed him twice last month. And the first interview was a tricky one, and Cook actually said to me afterwards, that didn't really go quite so well, and I wasn't too comfortable with some of it. All to Crook's credit, he spoke to John again the week later, and so it's now a double header interview. We got Tom Shaw to take the photographs as well, and this sounds like a big plug, but it's quite important. And the piece has come out beautifully, and Cook is the most revealing interview and the most humanising interview that I've ever read with Cook, and I would say that hand on heart, whether I'd read it in my magazine or any other. It's a remarkable piece of work.
It's important to point out that the second interview happened not because Cook wanted to go back and change stuff that he'd said.
No, he wanted to elaborate on
things which he didn't feel like he'd articulated pretty well, which is, to his great credit, really, to come out and say, I don't think I've articulated what England under Peter Moores and me as captain is going to look like. I want to tell you a bit more, which is what he did. And it's a really, John's done a great job in it.
Is it like the end of Blade Runner where you're thinking, oh, hang on, is Harrison Ford a robot? You get to the end of this and you go, he's not a robot, he's a real man.
It is. It's the inverse of Blade Runner. It's Runner Blade.
Yep. Anyway. I can't wait to read it.
It's genuinely good.
I read a John Hutton article today about Joe Root, talking about how Joe Root is sort of somewhere between having experience and being an ingenue, and it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. And he's an excellent writer. And I look forward to this article. I saw a picture of Alistair Cook having a pint with an Essex landlord about 6 weeks ago. And snarky me, I tweeted in to that landlord who'd put the picture up very proudly, I bet he didn't drink that pint, did you serve tofu? And he tweeted straight back, couple of pints with Alistair, really good bloke, no tofu around. And I thought...
You're not playing yourself in a very good light. Aren't you horrible?
What?
Aren't you
just an arsehole?
You're in a really
and you're
bad place.
Sincerely angry
you're
mob.
Also hiding behind the Podblast Twitter handle, so they might think that was Paul
that
Ross.
That could... I would have imagined Alistair would love a Scotch egg.
Ross was out at the French house.
I was hanging around with other dandies.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've discussed stonewalling, and really, that's just very naturally led in a conversation about some other things. So you know what? It's not all about winning and losing. Just on this one... We're just gonna take a break. Wow, so many more awards to give and so little time to give them in. Let's move very quickly, Ross. What more awards? What have we got?
Best batsman, James Vince, the only man to eclipse Daryl Mitchell for me. He's had a terrific season in the short form and the long form.
Seconded.
James Vince, I'm really into people who've got surnames and first names. Ricky Bogby, Talladega Nights, James Vince.
James Vince, I like it. That's good. Other ones we missed out on?
Well, how's about heartwarming moments in cricket, Phil?
Yeah, sincerely nice things to happen in cricket award. The girls went pro. 18 girls on central contracts as of this season. Massive. Steve Finn back and strong and well in the mix. Great news.
Yeah, that's good news. I've got Eastern Cowboys, who are a football team, but they've also got a cricket team. They had a 19-year-old asylum seeker in their side. He got detained for 50 days. They got him out.
Yes.
That's cricket.
That's bloody good stuff. All this stuff should be cheering you up, Al. How's it working?
I think it's worked.
Are you out of it?
I feel fantastic.
You're out of the slump.
It's like the end of the Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
Right, well, let's go and play Last Man Stands.
Let's do it. I bet you feel so good. You now love Stuart Broad.
No, I don't.
Wait, Jess.